Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Well, let's just pray and get into this morning. Father, we want to thank you for what you are doing in this year already, God. Starting today, our first Sunday, to give you the honor and the glory, the first fruit of our worships this year, Father. And Lord, we just want to bless your kingdom this year, God. Say that with me. Say, I want to bless you, God, and all that you're doing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we start today what we call 21 days of prayer and fasting. You should have a sheet that someone gave you. It is some prayer points. And how many know that fasting from something, you need to make sure you're fasting to something?
Yeah.
It's not just skipping a meal. It's not just giving up something. It is going to something. Yeah. Now, there are people who are taking some different medicines right now in your life, and you can't skip a meal. But what you can do is you can spend more time in God's Word.
Yeah.
Amen. You might could take some time to encourage someone through a text or something. Because when you're taking time to do that, you're actually fasting from something else that time usually took. So all of us can participate with this. And there's literally hundreds of thousands of people doing this over the whole world in these next 21 days. So I believe God's going to do something powerful. So make sure you're part of that. But this morning we come for what I feel like the Lord gave me. Now, there's at times in my life where I get a very specific word for the year. There's times that I get kind of a general word, and it just ebbs and flows, okay? I don't want to act like I'm something I'm not. But this year I have a very specific word that I heard the Lord speak when I was praying about coming into 2024, and there's a lot more to this about what's going to happen. Not here to give you that today. But what I will tell you is that we have to have a capacity for fullness this year. Okay, so I want to go ahead and put it up, and I want to read it to you exactly the way the Lord gave it to me. You can take a picture of it, write it down, whatever it was. You'll be seeing this every week for the next 3 weeks. 2024, we're going to have a capacity for fullness, for the things of God is going to make available and do. Everybody say and do. To and with those who make room for him. Now, what you got to understand, God's going to do these whether you make room for him or not. God is going to get what he wants accomplished in 2024 whether you open up to it or not. And the thing you've got to do is make a capacity and make room for God to do what he wants to do in 2024 to through you. Amen? If not, you're going to miss out on some things. And you're not going to make a difference. And God created you to make a difference. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, everybody say, make room for the things of God. Now, to make room for the things of God, that means you got to get rid of some other things. It's kind of like the fasting thing. And this is a whole year, not to maybe just you're on a year fast, but yes, kind of you are. If this is going to be a year where you're going to be at maximum potential with God and you've got to make some room, that means you got to get rid of some things. Are you with me? And if you'll notice in the past 3 or 4 months, I've kind of been leading up to this word with different messages. That this is going to be a year you can't have distractions like you've had in the past. Good or bad. Come on. Good is the enemy of great. Doesn't mean these things have to be bad. They don't have to be sinful. They're good, but they're just not the greatest thing. And this is a year to go for the greater things. Can I have a better amen there? And for some people, it's literally going to be things that's been in your way from you walking in your maximum potential with God. For others, it's going to be people and relationships. I tell people all the time, when you get delivered from alcohol and bars, you don't go hang out with the alcoholics and bars. I mean, common sense. So it's going to be a year that you make sure who you're surrounding by. Amen? And then I think one of the biggest things this year you're going to have to go into, the Lord spoke to me, you're going to have to get rid of the lies you have believed about yourself. You can't reach your capacity if you're still believing the lies of the enemy about who you are, who your authority is, and what you do with Christ. God made you in His image of His word. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now everybody say capacity for fullness. That's going to take one thing, and let's go ahead and put this first note up. To have a capacity for fullness is going to require the most precious commodity we have, and that's time. Everybody say time. So in other words, you're going to have to spend some time that you normally don't give to God. You're going to have to find somewhere to get a capacity to have time with God, to have time with His word, to have time with His fellowship, to have time in His spirit, to have time in His presence. So time, everybody say time. And we are so pressed for our time. Do you realize with everything going on in life, we live in the most modern technological advancement in the world? Do you know back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have cars? They didn't have homes like we have. He didn't have a cell phone he could call ahead. He didn't have a takeout order. He didn't have none of that. We got microwaves, to-go order. We got everything. And it seems like we've got less time for God than they did back then. That's because we've let something else fill our capacity for God. Oh, don't shout me down in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Go ahead and put this up. What do you think your capacity is? What is your capacity? Have you ever thought about that? And then if you've got a capacity, do you want to stay there? Now let's put this in other terms. How many of you are married? Wave at me. How many of you are going into 2024 happily married? You better get that hand up if you know what's good for you. Now, what's your capacity for your marriage? Ever thought about that? What's your capacity for marriage? And if you've got a capacity for your marriage out of this past year going into the next year, do you want to stay there or do you want it to get better? How many want your marriage to get better this year? But how many know you want to spend some time making your marriage better this year? Everybody say it's going to require time. Now, let me also ask you this right here. How many got a job you do something for a living? How many ever you retired and still do that for a thank you, Lord? Amen. What's your capacity for your career and your job? Do you want it to stay there or do you want it to advance? I think we all want to advance. Amen. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's one. What is your capacity, maybe for the past year, going into this year, for your health?
Amen.
What's your capacity for your health? Do you want your health to get better this next year? Then you're going to have to take time and make some changes and make some room and have some capacity there for it to get better. Because if you don't ever have capacity beyond what you're at, you can never get better at what anything you're doing, whether it be marriage, family, career, and even God in church. What's your capacity for church being? If it's just every once in a while, is that your maximum capacity? Or do you want it to get better? Well, three of us. Amen. Thank you. Now, here's the thing about your capacity I've found out in my life. Your capacity will never get better until it's challenged.
Amen.
Oh, amen. So go ahead and put the next note up real quick. You'll never know what you're capable of if you never get beyond what you're comfortable with. We don't know what we're capable of in our comfort zone. And unfortunately, we've become capacity level for most of us is, really, we should just call it our comfort level. I'm comfortable doing this. I'm comfortable right here. I'm comfortable what I like. I'll share with you just real quickly when I got called to be a pastor. I didn't want to be one. Told God I probably would never do that. Be careful what you tell God you won't do. And I'll never forget, I was on Johnson Chapel Road, first house me and my wife ever bought and moved into, and I'm mowing my yard, and God is just pounding me about being a pastor. And I'm like, Lord, I'm already doing youth. Me and my wife are teaching a Sunday school. We're working with the youth. I'm traveling a lot, playing music and leading people to Christ, playing Christian music, seeing a lot of young people come to Christ. At that time, I was playing in a Christian rock band. I'm in ministry already, God. And I'm very comfortable on any platform behind the kit. And that's the word I use. I said, I'm comfortable doing all this. And he said, well, I'm glad you're comfortable because it wasn't comfortable when my son on the cross dying for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tap out. I'll do whatever you want. See, I had reached capacity in what I thought God was just comfortable with me. And I'm telling you, I'm still out of my comfort zone. And I don't ever want to be in a comfort zone. Life is way more fun when you're out of your comfort zone. Woo, it's challenging. It is exciting. It's adventurous. And when we get comfortable, you've met your capacity level. When you get comfort in your marriage, if your marriage is just planed out and you think it's just doing good, you're wrong. Your marriage is going down because marriages either get better or they get worse. They do not stand still. So if you've got a comfortable marriage, you're in trouble. Come on. If you're comfortable with everything, you've reached your capacity. It's not going to change. Because challenge comes when capacity. Can I have a better amen? Amen? Another way of saying that is, I've always said it like this, and I've heard some other somebody say it. If you want something you've never had, you usually got to do things you've never done before. And that definitely can be a challenge you got to step out on in Christ Jesus. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, got another question I want to ask you. It's not going to be in your notes. I want you to look back all the way up to right now. In your life, what have you convinced yourself that you cannot do? What have you convinced yourself, I can't do that? Anybody got one of those? I think we all do, if we'd be honest. We've convinced ourselves, I can't do that. But I have found a lot of reality is, it's not that I can't do it, I won't do it. Oh, come on. Don't shout me down this morning. It's not so much that we can't do it, we just reach the point where we won't do it. And this is where I see so many churches get stuck. We can't change. We can't do nothing else but what we've always done. Come on, some of the deadliest words you'll ever hear at church, we ain't never done that before. We can't do that. We can't start a feeding program. We can't start ministry. No, it's not that you can't, it's just you won't. As a matter of fact, with the things of God, there's never I can't with God. Even in leadership, I can't change my leadership style. No, it's not that you can't, it's you won't. Because you're doing it in your comfort zone. You're doing what you like. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Good preaching, amen. Everybody say, make room for God. Now, I'm going to give you a very familiar scripture this morning, a couple of them first. And I want you to see it through the eyes of capacity for fullness of God. Because we look through these verses so many times, and there's especially the first one, Philippians 4:13. Go ahead and put that up. I can do. Now notice what it says here, I can do. It doesn't say I can't. I can't change, I can't adapt, I can't overcome. It says I can do what?
All.
You know what all means?
All.
It means all. I can do all things. What are things? Things are your life, your marriage, what you're interested in, what your calling is, what you do for a living, your family, your kids, things in your life. I can do all my life, all the things in my life. Well, how? Come on, I can do them through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now we know that verse, amen? But you know how many times I hear people say, Brother Joey, things ain't going the way I need them to go. I mean, all things are not working out really good right now. Now looking through the eyes of capacity, my question is to you this morning, into all the different areas and the things going on in your life, what capacity have you allowed Christ Jesus to guide you really through them? If your marriage ain't where it needs to be, what capacity have you allowed Jesus to come in and start running your marriage the way the Bible says? If your finances aren't lined up the way you need them to be, what capacity have you studied the Word of God to find out how to handle finances? If your job is not what you want, you don't like it, you hate going to work, what capacity are you taking God to work with you? If your church ain't where you want it to be and you don't like it, what capacity have you brought to it? Well, are y'all okay? So what capacity to the things of your life? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I love this one. Now to him who is able to do, say it with me, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Now, usually it stops right there. And that's how the scripture's quoted. Oh, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond anything we can ask or seek. And then we stop. But we need this year to learn how to quote the rest of the verse. According to the power that works in us. Now, according to Philippians we just read, I can do all things through the power of Christ in me and in you. Amen? As long as I give him the capacity he needs to operate. But when I shut him down and I keep his capacity low in my desires, my comfort zone, my ideas, my ways are the highways, then you ain't giving God the capacity he needs to change your life and your things and your circumstances. Because you're in control instead of him. So to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask, according to the power that works in us. That part, according to the power works in us, you know what that basically is? Now think about this. That is the capacity you give Jesus and the room you make for him to operate in those things. You understand that? According to the power that works in you and me for our life in Christ Jesus, what capacity have you made for him to come in and be in total control of every situation in your life? Which requires your time, your submission, and your obedience, and your honor, and your respect. The things that we don't want to operate in today. Now, I'm going to try to be very sweet on this next one. Don't put it up yet. Because we're living in a time today when we have the largest church in America, and it's been this way for several years. The actual largest church in America is what we call the unchurched church. Everybody say the unchurched church. It's the church that says, I love God. Or it's the church that says, I used to go to church. But I still love God, but I don't have anything to do with this church. And for all my unchurched church people out there, I still love you, but you're wrong. And they'll always have an excuse and a point and a blame because of all the hypocrites in church. It's always the hypocrites in church, and the church ain't preaching the truth like I like the truth, and I am perfect. I don't have to go to church. I don't need a church. There ain't a good church out there that believes like I believe. Well, maybe you're so good, maybe you need to start one. Well, but they won't even do that. And you that know your Bible so well, how do you rectify Hebrews 10:25, where it says, do not forsake the church assembly? How do you rectify that Jesus was in church every time the door was open, but yet Jesus is supposed to be your example? Oh, and by the way, even this scripture, and I told you I'm going to try to be nice. Now, the next verse, don't put it up yet until I call for it. This next verse flows right out of this verse. Contingent upon the verse we read, exceedingly abundantly and beyond anything you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now watch the next scripture. Go ahead. To him, God Almighty, be glory. Read it with me. In the church. Dear God, that's in your Bible. See, you ought to read your Bible. It'll bless you sometime. But see, you can't read that when you're part of the unchurched church because it goes against what you believe. To him, to God be glory in the church. Now watch this. By who? Christ Jesus. Now watch this. To all generations forever and ever. Amen. Meaning there is an availability of exceedingly, expressively above and beyond anything you can ask, think, or imagine if you get yourself into church, and it's supposed to be a generational thing forever. Come on. Yeah, you can clap right there. That's a good place to clap. See, all the people in church like to clap on that one. But that's in the Bible. Don't shout me down. It's in the Bible. Amen. The church is God's idea, not man's. Right. Now, man has been messing church up ever since it began. Do you want to know why? You want to know why? Because there is no perfect church. You want to know why? Because there ain't no perfect people. There ain't no perfect pastor. There ain't no perfect elders. There ain't no perfect teachers. There ain't no perfect deacons. There ain't no perfect anything. And for all the unchurched perfect people, you're wrong. You just can't find a place to bring your unperfectness to. You want me to say it again? You can't find a place to bring your unperfect. It's true. I bet I just had a bunch of people click off right then. Amen. But when you can't be faithful to the Word of God in His church, now if you can't come to church, that's one thing. But if you can, you need to be faithful to your church. Amen? And when I say your church, I'm talking about your church. Amen? We never try to grow a church out of a church. It's Bible. Everybody say Bible. Well, go ahead and put up the next note. Get me out of this. God wants to fill you, but He will not push Himself on you. This is a year you can go into maximum potential. You can get full capacity for the things of God in every area of your life, but He will not make you do this. As I said before, He's going to do what He needs to do in 2024 with or without you. See, we get this complex, especially here in the American church, God's got to have me to do this. No, He does not. He desires you. He wants you. He died for you, but He ain't going to beg you. Are you listening to me? He's not going to force Himself on you. That's what makes Him God and not us. Now, I want to show you something about Jesus' presence going into this next year and having capacity for Him. Mark chapter 6, verse 48 and 49. Jesus has gotten through preaching. He's sending them to the other side in the boat. Not the same message as last week, not the same place. He saw them struggling at rowing. There's a storm come up again. For the wind was great against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, He, Jesus, came to them walking on the sea. That's pretty cool. Now, read this last part with me. One, two, three, read. And would have passed them by. Now, a lot of times we read over that. Here they are. They're in a storm for their life. Here comes Jesus to them. But the Bible says, and it does not lie, they're in the storm. They're rowing hard. They're not getting anywhere. And He would have passed them by. Just because you're a Christian and in America don't mean God's got to pull into your place every time. He'll pass by, but you need to have room for Him. If He passes by and He sees there's no room for Him, He'll keep going. If He passes by and He sees He's not wanted there, He'll keep going. He'll pass you by. Well, it doesn't sound like the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus of the Bible. That's Bible. Now watch this. Next verse. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. They began to cry out to Jesus. Now the ghost there, they're seeing, it is a ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Now, what does the crying out mean? The crying out means they're making room for Jesus to come aboard. How many is the last time you've cried out for Jesus to get in your boat? Not just in your situation. Now, this was a bad situation, amen? And unfortunately, the only time we cry out to God most of the days is when we're in a bad situation. This is not a year for that. This is a year to already have Him in your boat.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? For what's coming upon America and the release of the satanic realm this next year, you better already have Him in the boat. Because if you get so preoccupied with what's going on in the world and what you're seeing on the news and what's happening here and there and in the wars, rumors of wars and earthquakes and all that stuff, and you don't recognize Jesus is coming by, He will keep on going. Because He's looking somewhere He can get in the boat. Now, of course, you know the story. They got Him in the boat and the wind and the sea ceased, and they made it. Say amen.
Amen.
Then we move into Mark chapter 10. Jesus was out of Jericho. He's coming around to the next city. Bam, here's blind Bartimaeus, begging. He's blind, he's got to beg for a living, he can't work. He's on the roadside begging, Mark chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. And when he, talking about blind Bartimaeus there, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Woo! I think that's what we need to cry out now.
Amen.
But of course, there were some good old Christian folks there. Next verse. Then many warned him to be quiet. Dude, shut up. Be quiet. But I love blind Bartimaeus. They told him to shut up. What did he do? Did he shut up?
No.
He cried out all the more. The Bible says he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. What did blind Bartimaeus do? He's making room for Jesus to come into his life. He's got capacity. He knows that only Jesus can fill that. And when here Jesus is passing by, he's not going to let him just go. By the way, let me back up the story. God just brought something to me. When the disciples and all of them were in the boat and they cried out to God, what were they afraid of? They were afraid of the storm, right? Everybody say the storm was the problem. Get a little of this now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was walking on what they were afraid of. Whatever it is you're in fear of, Jesus walks on it. Whatever it is you're in doubt and fear and think you can't do it, Jesus will come walking on your problem. Jesus will come walking on your failure. Jesus come walking to you and whatever thing that the enemy's throwing at you to say you can't, Jesus will walk on the very thing that you think's holding you back to get you to go where he wants you. That didn't cost you nothing extra. Amen. So Bartimaeus here made room for Jesus. Now, here's what's really good about blind Bartimaeus. His capacity to have more of Jesus brought his healing. Because Jesus came to him and healed him. Do you know if he would have had a capacity of pride in his life, he never would have cried out, he would have shut up. If he had capacity of pride and embarrassment, now I don't want to be one of those Christians. I don't want to be one of those holy rollers. I don't want to be one of those shouters. I don't want to lift my hands in church. See, when you got a capacity of pride, it'll keep you from God. Matter of fact, when God walks by and sees a spirit of pride on you, he can't come to that. He'll walk on by. Now, he's with you if you're born again. But I'm telling you, listen to me real closely. This is the year that if you walk in pride, you are going to miss God. And you can be religious and have pride. You can quote scriptures and be in pride. Come on. Amen. Bible says pride goeth before destruction. If destruction comes into your life this year, look for a spirit of pride. People all the time come to God in church. Oh, I want to be changed. I want this year to be a great year. I want to be changed, Jesus. Church, I want to be changed. But you never want to be challenged. I want change, but I don't want no challenge to it. I got news for you. No challenge, no change. Change never comes without challenge. What's it challenging? It's challenging your capacity. It's challenging your time. It's challenging your comfort zone. Can I get a better amen there? Well, I just feel like I've been stuck. And I love you. I'm going to tell you that straight up like it is. Maybe it's not the fact you're stuck, you just quit. You just stopped. And you calling it stuck, you ain't stuck, you just quit. Don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. Keep on going. Amen? All right, y'all got time for one more? You might as well go ahead and say, yeah, you're going to get it anyway. 2 Kings chapter 4. Elijah and this Shunammite woman. I love this story. And really, it is one of the most perfect examples of having a capacity for the fullness of God. Now, this is not Elijah. This is Elijah. So Elijah was the man of God now. He's a representation of Christ at this time in the earth. He's not Christ, but he carries a heavy prophetic anointing. He's a prophet of God. He's a very holy man. He's got a double portion anointing on him. Amen? If you know anything about the Bible. And this man, on his journey to places, he would go by this house, and this very, very prominent woman in the area, she's very wealthy, he would stop there, and she would feed him every once in a while. And he would go back and forth a lot, and she began to feed him every once in a while, but it wasn't a real regular. I mean, it was occasional. He would stop there, and she would feed him. Everybody say, that's good. She made room and fed him and blessed him. Amen? But again, I'm trying to respect your time here. Go back and read all of chapter 4 of 2 Kings this week. It'll bless you. But I just want to hit verses 9 and 10 this morning. Next verse says, and so she said to her husband, look now, I know, watch this now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Now go back to when Jesus was walking on the water and would have passed them by. So in other words, Old Testament and New Testament represents the anointing of God walking around, and it's looking for a place to hang out. It's looking for a place that'll make room for it. So here this man of God, a theophany of Christ, basically, big word again, he's walking by, and she's, and in other translations said he walks by consistently. Consistently, the presence of God is always with us and walking by the things we're walking by. I love that. Watch what she does in verse 10. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed in there for him, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so that it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here. They built him a room at their house. They added on to their house for the man of God, for the presence of God, for the anointing of God. Some of you need to build in your spiritual house this year another room where it can come and reside there. Are you with me? They built in, talking about making room, they literally made a room. In other words, they extended their capacity, and now they can host the presence of God. And if you read on into the story, he stayed there. Why did he stay there? Because there was room for him. I mean, it's a very simple process, guys. You make room, he'll come in. Amen? Now, he had a servant that traveled with him, Gehazi. And Gehazi and Elijah wanted to bless this woman for making room. Come on, y'all, catch that. The anointing of God always wants to bless what makes room for him. So she and her husband had made room. And so Gehazi, he told Gehazi to go to this woman, go to this Shunammite woman, and ask her what she wants me to do for her. I can talk to the high ups for her. I can do all this stuff for her and bless her. And she's like, I'm good with everything. And then Gehazi noticed and talked to her about it. She don't have a son. Now, if you read in the scriptures, and she'd even use it as an excuse, I don't have a son. My husband's old. I don't know if she was young, he was old, but blame the husband, okay. I need, maybe she made room for God, maybe, anyway. So Elijah tells Gehazi, go back and tell her she's going to have a son. By this time next year, she'll be holding a baby boy. Her response was, don't tease me. Well, it didn't say that. Actually, she said, "Don't lie. Please don't lie to me." Because she wanted a son, and she knew her husband was past the age of childbirth. But guess what happened? When he passed back by the next year, now he's passed by, she was holding a son. Everybody say, that's good news. That's good news. She made room for God. He blesses those who make room and done a miracle. Now, if you read on, a few years later, the son gets sick, cries out, my head, and dies. Quiet in here, Narrow. He dies. And he's in the bedroom, and he's dead. She doesn't wait for Elijah to come by. She goes after him. Now, Elijah had sent his rod ahead of him and told Gehazi to lay it on the child, but he didn't come back to life. So Elijah came. She went to Elijah. Elijah comes back to the house, lays on the boy, and after a couple of times, the boy raises up from the dead. Wow. Are you getting what I'm seeing? You can literally, by making room for God, set yourself up as a candidate for miracles. To you and through you. She didn't get the miracle of life, but her son did because of the room she made. So do you want 2024 to be a year to make room, or do you just want to keep doing life like you've been doing it? I'm telling you, if I could get in there, just give me the next 2 weeks, please. Now, everybody say faith. Her faith is what gave her room for more capacity for Jesus. Their faith made them cry out to Jesus in the boat. And a little fear, okay? Amen? Amen? It is faith that activates. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Everybody say faith. So let me ask you this right here. What's your faith capacity for God in your life? What's your faith level for your marriage this year? What's your faith level for your career? What's your faith level for the things of God? Because here's what's ironic. If you don't believe in miracles, I mean, what do you expect? Faith is the active ingredient. Faith is the currency of heaven on earth. I got one more note for you. Come on. Faith is what will change your language. Everybody say faith. Change my language. Faith will literally flip the script in your life when you get turned on to Jesus and his word and his ways. Everybody say faith. Go ahead and put it up. When we say, well, I would if I could, faith says you could if you would. Let that sink in. How many times have you either said, or you know people who have said, well, I would if I could. Faith says you could if you just would. Don't live your life in 2024 with a I would if I could mentality. Go in here saying, I can and I will. You want to be closer to God this year? He's not moved. God's not moved. If this is the presence of God in my life, this table here, and I want to be with Jesus, and this is Jesus, that's what I got to do. But if I'm distracted, if I'm got too many things going on, still love him. Still love him. Still love him and going to heaven. Still really do love him. But I'm just feeling out here on my own now. Still love him, and I'm feeling let down, and I'm feeling strained, and I'm feeling frustrated and confused. And life is happening all around me. You know, I mean, I just don't feel like I'm close to God like I used to be. Who moved? Did that move or did I move? I moved. And if I want 2024, okay, Lord, that's been my 2023. I got a lot of things going on. I got distracted. Me and my family got out of church. Yada, 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 whatever. We got hurt. We got our feelings hurt. Welcome to life. Yes. But Lord, I want this to be a year that we're back and we're... Well, then all I have to do... 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Yes, it's good. I got all I want right here. I got him. I got his word. Listen to me, guys. It is that simple. Are you hearing me? It is that simple. How many want more of God in 2024? Nothing can stop you but you and the lies of the devil. Anything else? Piece of cake to overcome. The question is, what will you go into 2024 with? What is your capacity? What is in your capacity? And what capacity will you give God in his power in every area of your life? Let's stand our feet this morning. 2024, you will get from God what you make room for. Amen? What are you going to make room for this year? Will you even walk into 21 days of prayer and fasting, or you don't have room for that this year? Some of you have been going to church. Will you make room to step into more? A serving somewhere, serving outside, serving somewhere. Is there room for God at your job through you? As students, is there room for God in your school through you? I'm not talking about you got to go around with a 10-foot Bible pounding everybody over the head, but just living an authentic Christian life everywhere you go. Do you have room for Jesus in your daily life? Do you have room to pray over your meal when you're out to eating at home? Is there room for that in your life? Is there room to maybe pray for someone when they tell you, hey, remember me. Well, let me pray for you. Is there room for that in your life? But the number one question right now, have you made room for Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because without that, you're just off. You're just off the chart right now. So this morning, I want you to bow your head real quick. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a way to start the year. By surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. To make room to have a Lord and Savior this year. Because you cannot pay for your own sins. Because you didn't die for your own sins. And there ain't no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And what we offer you today is not a church membership. You're not going to join church. And we're not offering you any form of religion. We're offering you to surrender your life to the one who did pay for your sins, where you could go to heaven. His name is Jesus. And if you've never done that, with no strings attached, just lift your hand and say, today, I want to surrender my life. Anyone? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? Maybe online the first Sunday. Those of you that didn't click off at staying at home. If you stayed with me, let us know. 2024, your life needs to make a difference. Now, how many of you would say today, I need the capacity for the fullness of God in many areas in my life. And today, I'm going to have 2024. I'm going to make more room for Jesus in every area of my life. My hands are going up, both of them, because I know I need this in my life. This is not just a word for everybody. This is a word for me, too. And Lord, I want to come and be committed to you this year more than I ever have, God. Lord, I want my capacity, I want my tent pegs to be stretched out where there's capacity for more of you in my life, God. Lord, we're ready to strip off some things that's getting in the way, God, and saying yes to you more. And God, you've seen every hand and heart in here, and I thank you for them, God. And now let it just come to pass, Lord. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And I can't wait to see the results when our lives are lived in full capacity, maximum potential of the things of God in our life, our marriage, our home, our kids, our finances, everything about us, blessed and highly favored above men, because we've made room for the blessings. So Father, say, I'm making room. I make room for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can you give me some glory this morning?
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.